Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 33, episode 2 of Data Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For May 30th, 2018. Don't let that scare you, guys. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jack O'Brien. Jack O'Brien. Mm-hmm. Wings. That's courtesy Wings. Of Keziah Ruzicka, Noise Mom. On Twitter, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Honestly, after that, I don't know how to follow that up with a singing one, but today I'm just going to keep it simple. It's your boy, Miles Gray, a.k.a. Gray Dilla. Dilla, 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 Beats, Beats. And that is also by, I just realized, at Noise Mom.
Oh, for real?
Double down!
Look at that.
Kez? Okay, good on you. Good on you.
I understand if you were intimidated by my singing.
No, that's true. Yep.
We are thrilled to be joined by two of my all-time favorite podcasters. They are the hosts of the legendary Girls in Hoodies podcast, which was one of my first favorite podcasts. And they also host my new favorite podcast, Night Call. And they are our first two guests.
Panel, I guess.
They are Molly Lambert and Tess Lynch.
What's up, guys?
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, this is the first. This is new for us.
Yeah.
This is a lot of energy now. I'm like,
we're thrilled to have you
it's
guys.
It's a cipher.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes, we'll get to that later.
First up, guys, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are or where you are in your life? What are you searching these days?
Tess, you want to go first?
Hell yes, I do. The most telling search of mine was, do spiders have thoughts?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And?
So there is a jumping spider, and its brain is the size of a sesame seed, and it is super smart. Mm-hmm. It tracks prey. If its prey is hiding, it will devise a route to get to the prey that's, like, the best route, and they also don't like getting wet, so they have preferences. So keep that in mind next time you smash a spider. Don't have it be a jumping spider.
I'm a spider advocate.
Me too.
I don't kill spiders.
No, I don't either. The only bugs to kill are ants and mosquitoes.
Is that true? Oh, you mean like in terms of like not messing up the ecosystem?
No, just in terms of like guilt.
Or for you personally?
Yes, okay. Just the ones I don't like.
They're just very dumb or you just dislike them? Or
Mosquitoes, it's like, aren't they the
get
most deadly animal on earth?
Yeah, that's true.
They are. And then ants, I mean.
Fuck ants. Yeah. I mean, we can all
agree. They always
come
with a crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's
and
so many.
They pull up to your door like you invited them.
Exactly.
No.
Blasting their music. Forget it.
No, they're definitely taking over the globe from us.
Yeah.
Molly, what is something from your search history?
I was trying to think. I was looking up Sammy Davis Jr.
All
yesterday. Because I was reading about Ocean's 11 or about Ocean's 8. And I was like, I'm going to read about the original Ocean's 11. And then I just started reading Sammy Davis Jr.'s whole Wikipedia.
Uh-huh.
And learned.
What's
a
Sammy fact you got for us?
Sammy fact I learned was that when he joined the Rat Pack, Frank was calling it the Klan.
Oh.
And Sammy was like, hey, let's not call it that.
And Frank listened?
Yeah.
Wow.
He did. He was like, he called it something else, though, instead. He was like, okay, we'll call it like the Summit.
Yeah. We'll call it the Overseers. Right. He's like, wait, what? No.
And then they started calling it the Rat Pack, which they stole from Humphrey Bogart's Group of Friends. It was called the Rat Pack.
Oh,
and they just straight up jacked
it. Yeah, they were like, that's us now.
that's what beef is, Jack.
Find a new name. All right, what's something that's overrated, guys?
Flavored seltzer, maybe?
Okay.
Mm.
What?
Not that it's not good, just that it's maybe overrated.
It's everywhere these days.
It's everywhere, including this office.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we don't know what to do.
I mean, there are good and bad flavored seltzers, though. You can acknowledge that, right?
I'm not saying it's not good. I'm just saying maybe it's over.
Yeah, okay. I think seeing like LaCroix bathing suits and like board shorts, I'm like, we don't need to do that.
Yeah.
It's the ants of the beverage game. Exactly. They're just everywhere and taking
everywhere.
Over.
We get it. Yeah. We accept that you're here.
Right.
But let's not have parades.
They bring a posse.
Yes.
Tess, what's your underrated thing?
No, my
overrated thing.
Overrated is the 10-step beauty routine.
Oh. Agreed.
What's that?
So I guess it's like mostly based on Korean beauty routines where there are 10 steps, but they can even be more than 10 steps if you're a real masochist.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you double cleanse, then you do toner, then you do like an acid exfoliant. Like it just goes on and on. And so a lot of my friends have been doing this and like talking on Facebook or whatever about this is so great. But if you try and do it, it takes like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And
that's too much.
It's too much. It's excessive and it's like.
But are the results, are they relative to the time you put in? Is it one of those things?
No.
Oh, well then.
Of course not.
Yeah, I was going to say like.
Yeah.
Then,
And then there's the mask. There are these masks that have like serum on them that you put over your face with the eye holes.
Yep.
That's just one step of your multiple step thing.
My wife is Korean and she wears those masks sometimes. And I think that there needs to be a movie serial killer that wears that mask because it is scary as fuck.
Yeah. It's really
like when you
scary.
Don't know she has it on, you're like, what the fuck?
It's just like a white paper thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't
really...
like adhere to the face well. That's what's scary about it is it's
loose,
flappy.
Yeah.
It's a flappy.
It's a little Silence of the
thing.
Lambs.
Kind of.
Very, very
weird. It's eyes without a face.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
That's why I like the ones that have the design on it. So at least you're a panda or a kabuki mask.
Yeah, I haven't even seen those.
Oh, in Japan, I would see those being sold at Tokyo Hands.
They could do like a magic eye version.
Yeah.
If you look at it long enough, long it becomes like something else. Yeah.
All right. Enough of this negativity. What's something that's underrated, guys?
I'm going milk.
Uh-huh.
I went beverages.
Okay.
You were just saying how milk... Have you flipped since yesterday, Molly?
No, I'm just saying I think it's underrated. I think people are too scared of milk.
All right, that's fair.
Okay.
It's got everything in it that you need.
My underrated is reading stories about other people's in-laws on message boards.
Wow.
This is like the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Wow. Yeah.
Like on Reddit or something?
Yeah, Reddit has
like
one.
Like our relationships?
I think it's like Hell No Mother-in-Law.
Oh,
maybe.
Wow.
They're usually targeting the mother-in-law, and sometimes it's family of origin, sometimes it's in-laws. They all kind of like get lumped together,
right.
And they're huge communities talking about this, and they have like all of this shorthand. There's like this special language you learn that's like encrypted so that you can, you know, say that if someone is your bitch eating crackers, it means that somebody who annoys you so much that if you saw them eating crackers, you would just be appalled at their behavior.
Is that like a BEC? Do they just shorthand it
like that? Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, the more you know.
Yeah.
It's amazing what Reddit does for people. Because I know on our relationships, they seem to believe that the daughter of the white woman who called the charcoal cookout people in Oakland, her daughter went on our relationships and was vaguely like, my mom did something really stupid on the internet. And went viral. Yeah. And then slowly, like as people asked follow up questions, like, wait, hold up. Is your mom the barbecue lady? And then she like deleted like her account and like the thread, just like things were missing.
Huh.
So, you know, Reddit is a fun place because it offers people support.
It's
internet
like Snapchat sleuthing.
Too.
Yeah.
And also garbage places too. It's, you know, it's the internet. So what do you expect?
All right, guys. What is a myth? Finally, what is something that people think is true that, you know, based on your personal experience? Or otherwise isn't true.
My friend was saying that the myth that Felicity stopped being popular because she cut her hair off is a myth.
Mm.
And that it was really that they changed the time slot on the show. And that's when the ratings went down. My friend was like going off about this the other day. She was like, everyone thinks it's because Felicity cut her hair, but it's because they moved it to Fridays.
They also changed the theme song.
Oh,
I think.
That probably didn't help either.
It was Carrie Russell, right?
Yeah, she cut off all
had
her hair.
Had that beautiful curly hair.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. I like the idea that that was like her Samson hair. I'm like, cool.
Alienated everyone. Yeah.
How about you, Tess?
Well, I'm still struggling with which of these to choose, but I guess because it's a rainy day in Los Angeles that my weather app told me was not a rainy day in Los Angeles.
Thank you.
Right? Weather apps are bullshit and they're not forecasting anything. It's almost like they're afraid to get your hopes up by saying it will rain. So even if they really think it's going to rain, they're like, eh, they'd rather be surprised.
It's so funny because as I was looking at the forecast like from Monday on, like throughout the week, I'm like, okay, it'll be heating up. There'll be some sun. And then this morning when I saw like a little bit of water coming off of my roof, I'm like, I think something's leaking up.
Right.
Like, I didn't even factor in that it could be raining because the app told me sunshine.
Just blind faith in the apps.
What you're saying is like you'll be standing outside in the rain. It'll be like 0% chance of rain. And it's like, I'm in it.
Yeah. There's a possibility it's a government experiment to see if you would believe your phone as opposed to the actual weather.
Isn't it also
weather.
Called Weather Underground?
I deleted Weather Underground because that was more wrong than any other
really?
App. Yes.
Wonderground or whatever?
Wonderground was always wrong. And it honestly, at one point, it said there was a 1% chance of rain.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you're just like pulling this out of a hat.
Right.
What do you mean a 1% chance
Isn't
of rain?
Isn't it like the top rated weather app like,
it
for
is.
iOS? I remember because I was like, do I want to pay for a weather app? No.
Yeah, no.
Wait, is it a pay? You have to pay for Weather Underground?
I think
it
so.
Used to
Are
be
there,
free, but it
oh,
may
there
have,
maybe, there's maybe in-app things, or maybe I was just kind of going off of like, do I need to download another thing even just because of the top one?
But don't do it. They're all scams.
They are all scams.
Just go outside.
I also hear people refer to weather reports that are like 5 to 6 days out, and like scientifically, mathematically, that's just chance. There's nothing they can tell
that
you about what it's going to be 5 to 6 days. I also wonder how much... the apps sucking has to do with Los Angeles, like whether they are just like, ah, it's always sunny, fuck it. Like they're not worried about it. And also the weather's like different from place to place.
I don't know. Fritz Coleman is usually on point for me. You know what I mean? So I trust Fritz. If Fritz has an app. If Fritz could just text me, right. Okay, then I would be like, okay, I trust you, my guy. Because you never let me down for all the years I've lived in the city.
Fritz Coleman and Stu Mundell, the helicopter guy, are the two. They're like the eyes on this city.
Also, shout out to Dallas Raines.
Oh, Dallas Raines.
Dallas Raines. He looks like an old porn star, but you know, we'll keep it rocking.
He's got the greatest name. He's got an old porn star name.
Yeah. He also comes in like this, Dallas Raines.
Yes. Yeah.
Isn't it true that like there were Los Angeles famous people who started out as like, didn't Letterman work as a weatherman for a while?
I think he worked as a Leatherman, the tool.
Leatherman
became a weatherman, and then Letterman.
David Weatherman.
No, I don't know. That was before my time, probably, or at least from like knowing like, oh, that David Letterman, because by the time he was doing the tonight.
What, you're in your mid-50s, right?
I'm in my late 60s, actually, truth be told. But no, yeah, I'm sure if we looked up, there would be a listicle of people who started off as weather people you didn't realize.
Mm-hmm. Just going back to the Carrie Russell myth, that is part of the anti-pixie cut agenda that is prevalent in American pop culture, and they just need to, you guys, just do it.
Did she go pixie? Is that what happened?
I think so, right?
Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah. And then everybody was like, that's why the show stopped being good. But
yeah.
They just moved it.
Yeah.
And maybe his time was over.
Right.
Who knows?
All right, let's talk about what people are thinking and talking about right now. So this is kind of a tricky one. Brian Colangelo, who is the GM of the 76ers, technically my dad's boos, has done something somewhat embarrassing.
I like the way you're really spinning
The Ringer dropped an article last night that put out a theory that Brian Colangelo, the GM of the 76ers, has been using 5 different burner accounts to leak classified information about players they were trying to trade and talk shit about players who were just like angering him and the GM he replaced and the GM who replaced him and just really messy, petty shit. And it's just very old white male toxic narcissism vibe to it. Like his prose is very Trumpian. The way he tweets is like very just 100% protecting his ego from everything. And also at one point he defends Donald Trump from a criticism from Gabrielle Union. But
So he has 5 fake Twitter accounts?
5 fake Twitter
accounts.
Yeah,
I'm kind of surprised he can handle like switching back and forth between the 5 fake Twitter accounts.
He did not do a good job. It was very like very little differentiation other than that Eric Jr. was the one that talked the most spicy. And there are some Reddit theories going around that is actually his father, whose name is
Colangelo Sr.?
Yes, Colangelo Sr., because it is an anagram.
I bet there's a whole world of fake burner accounts.
Yeah, yeah. I mean we found out that Kevin Durant had one earlier. But this one's just, I think, a little bit more problematic because of him talking shit about Joel Embiid, who is his franchise center. Probably not the best thing to antagonize the guy who is the future of your franchise.
Hey, trust the process, though. You
know? Right. Well, so that is a reference to the previous GM, and anytime somebody says that, he just like burns up inside, apparently, because he just spends the whole time defending himself and like tearing down Sam Hinkie.
Does he talk about his big collars?
Yes. So this is, people are wondering how the anonymous source who tipped the Ringer off to this, how they figured this out. Their explanation is that they're an AI person who like noticed similarities in the way they were tweeting. But you had to have been like looking at these accounts in the first place to have put all that together. Mm-hmm. So my theory is the most transparent thing that one of the burner accounts did that would suggest it's Brian Colangelo is somebody made fun of Brian Colangelo's obsession with big collars. He always wears like big collars. And one of the burner accounts was like, it's a normal collar. He said, that's a normal collar. Find another angle. Which there's just no way that's anybody except him.
Yeah.
Like, who defends and the collars of another person?
Yeah, that's like not a real dig at someone like, oh, those collars are big. It's fine.
Okay? Right.
Why don't you let it go?
Right.
Like, what? Yeah.
That's
are
just
you
such
him?
A very specific.
Yeah.
They're really big.
Yeah, they are. They're huge.
What
are
they look? I have not seen these collars.
I looked it up because I didn't know who this guy I was. Yeah. And then I looked it up and I was like, those are some big collars.
Are they like stand up Victorian
they're
collars?
Like, or? No, they're
like, what are I'm trying to picture?
They're like 70s, like just big lapels.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, I see.
I mean, this is a more exaggerated one, but it goes to show you what I think people are thinking about his big collar game.
Yeah.
Has anyone suggested that maybe this is like a rival team trying to like frame Colangelo?
That's some 4D chess right there. That would be amazing. I will suggest that right now because fuck everybody who's not the 76ers.
Yeah, who are the 76ers' biggest rival that would want?
I could totally see Danny Ainge doing this for the
saying.
Celtics.
That's what I'm saying.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Here goes Jack. On his anti-Boston angle.
No, I like the city, just not a fan of
the Celtics.
Franchise.
That's right. Okay, yeah, okay, yeah. We got it.
But yeah, he also talked shit about Fultz, who is the player he picked with the first pick in the NBA draft, and like was leaking information about how he thought it was a mental thing, how he wasn't shooting well and stuff.
Oh, right, because that was like a big saga.
Yeah, so he, yeah, was basically like, ask his quote father figure why he had to like restructure his shot and all this shit. Like that was very petty and specific and was like, right. It seems like you might have some information and also a vendetta to make it seem like Brian Colangelo is totally innocent of making a terrible draft pick.
Someone show these old people how to use fake accounts, please.
I know.
I think how to use them is to not make them.
Yes.
Yeah.
That seems like.
But you gotta have one.
But if you want to get messy, you know.
I'm just saying, if people are gonna find out,
right? Eventually. Right.
You know.
Yeah.
No matter, especially if you're like waving around a trail, being like, don't look here.
Don't look at the collar.
Follow the money.
Yeah, like his header.
Just look at the collar.
Header image was like a comparison of collars. Yeah. And like the spectrum. It's like, this is actually normal.
Yeah. Right. Follow the collars.
Yeah. Follow the collars. Are you guys interested in UFOs at all?
Are we ever?
Yeah. Certainly.
You talk about some sort of supernatural, interesting
stuff. We got a call yesterday from Snooki. We're very excited about
it. What? You got a call from Snooki?
Yes.
Fuck this UFO stuff.
From Nicole Polizzi?
No, she came and asked, she told us she believes in aliens.
Of course.
She records the show right before us, and so we got her to like come on and ask a question. She was like, well, obviously aliens are real.
Yeah. Right. Moving on.
Thank you.
So wait, what did you hear about UFOs?
So basically, I just read an article that I think has been out there for a while, but we were talking about this Tic Tac UFO sighting thing that the New York Times reported on last year, where there are all these, you know, military aerial, you know, pilots, as opposed to the other types of pilots, who witnessed these like Tic Tac shaped things that were moving in ways that technically shouldn't be physically possible. And I just got some cool new details from this article.
Did you guys not see this video?
No.
It was like, here, these FAA-18 pilots are like tracking, and it's just like rotating, and the thing, they're like, it's rotating. They couldn't understand how it was moving because they're like, it wasn't a propulsion system that anyone had seen on Earth.
Yeah.
And essentially, like, the way it was moving was very strange. And you can hear in the pilots' voices when they show the video, they look like people who are seeing some kind of UFO. Because they're like, whoa. They're
and
like,
these are military people.
Yeah.
And so some things I didn't know about that. There are a bunch of different examples of this Tic Tac sighting, and they all happened within a couple weeks. Span in 2004, in terms of like things that it was doing that seem impossible, it could descend from 60,000 feet to 50 feet in a matter of seconds.
What?
Which doesn't seem like that should be possible. And there were also multiple reports of seeing the Tic Tac hovering over water about 50 feet above, you know, the ocean, and the water underneath it appearing to boil, which is cool.
Yeah, it's like the water was churning. Yeah, it's crazy.
Like something was coming up from underneath. Or, I don't know, it was using some propulsion device that we're just not aware of that makes water boil. So, I don't know. Back when the New York Times first published this, we talked about this story. And then last week, there was a Wired article that we covered where they were like, you know, throwing cold water on the whole thing. But I'm a believer again.
What was the cold water they threw on
it?
Just that the line of succession of ownership of that video isn't clear. Like, you can't tell specifically that it came from the Pentagon. But there's a guy who used to work at the Pentagon who's like, yeah, this
came from us. Yeah, and the special department who was, like, getting, like, weird secret earmarks from the Senate to, like, look into these kinds of propulsions. Like, just alien technology, essentially. He left the Pentagon to go work with Tom DeLonge.
Because they weren't taking
it seriously.
Yeah.
From Blink-182, who's now really the truth seeker in this world. But Yeah, the thing is really crazy because I think also in the military even describes it as an AAV or an anomalous aerial vehicle.
Right.
So
because UFO sounds too crazy.
That's right. Old school. That's what your grandpa used to call them.
There are also details in these multiple reports about people, about these pilots who you hear on the recording and how when they reported it, they were immediately like ridiculed and, you know, busted down for being crazy, essentially. So people wonder why, if there are these pilots out there flying around and seeing these things, why you wouldn't hear more about it. And it's because
I'm going with probably because it's like secret military stuff that we're not supposed to know about, right?
Well, that's one possibility. But this is the military who seems to be completely confused by all this shit.
Right.
Do you guys believe in UFOs?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe. I mean, after seeing that, like, I can't believe if even the Pentagon is sort of like, yeah, they saw this. We don't know what it is.
Right.
Right.
Like, what are we looking at then?
What's curious about the term UFO is it literally is just like, it's something you don't know what it is. Right. Right. But everybody's like,
nope.
Oh, it's UFO. Like,
I don't believe
aliens.
There's anything I don't know what it is.
Well, why, you know.
Yeah.
What could get past you after 33 seasons of reporting on it?
Exactly.
Maybe Brian Colangelo sent the video in.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that is.
See the collar on that Tic Tac?
To take focus.
Yeah. It's actually a flying collar. It's not a Tic Tac. It's a big ass collar.
And it did have some big wings.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. We got something.
It's all one story.
We're putting it together right now.
What are you guys' thoughts on UFOs just in general?
I like thinking about it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the alien thing. It's hard. I'm kind of a skeptic, but I like not dismissing things
right.
like that. Like instead of thinking like that it must be the kookiest version of whatever it could be, I like just kind of being like, oh, interesting. Like we don't know what it is. We'll figure it out. Probably not, actually. We won't figure it out. But maybe we will. But we were listening to a lot of Art Bell.
There you go.
And yeah, I mean, I was like, this is a good attitude to have in your life. Is
right.
like just to be like, I saw something. It was really crazy. And I'm not going to just assume that I'm crazy. I'm just going to be like, that was a crazy thing I saw. Who knows what it is?
Yeah, some cool people on there, though, sometimes, Art Bell. Yeah,
I mean, R.I.P.
Yeah.
Art Bell.
Yeah.
Also, I like to know. I like to think that I know what it is, even if I don't. I get frustrated by like you just don't know what it is.
Right. So if you looked at that, how would you try and explain that anymore?
I mean, I'd probably be like, oh, it's probably like a satellite coming back down or something.
That sounds scientific.
Twist my brain. Well, you know, I saw something once. I was at Disneyland and I saw it was like they called off the fireworks show because there was something unexpected in the sky. There was like a weird thing shot across the sky, and then it was like the fireworks show is called off tonight. So obviously I was like, well
that's
what
aliens.
Was that?
Yeah.
And it was supposedly a Chinese space program satellite falling back to Earth.
Ah.
Wow.
But it was one of those things where you're like, that could be anything.
Yeah.
That's they're telling me.
Well, at least from that perspective. But I think if you're in a jet, too, you're seeing things as it's in space just kind of rotating. My thing is, I would also love to believe that America is so far behind technologically that some other country's like, you haven't figured out, like, ion engines?
How to just do a 90-degree turn in the air and then drop.
They're like, you're using fuel? Okay, losers.
Did they know how big they were?
No, because they couldn't really get a good gauge on the way it was moving.
Maybe it was a mosquito.
It's a really big mosquito. Yeah. I told you, they're deadly animals.
Yeah, that's why we got to watch out for them.
Probably a speck.
Yeah.
Speck on the lens. Yeah, there was a launch that SpaceX did. It was right around when we were launching this show, so like 33 weeks ago, where it was nighttime, but the rocket was like taking off and like breaking through, and there was like a trail behind it. And it was so far above the Earth that the sun was hitting it.
Right,
and so
right.
just Everyone in the middle like, of the night what? Sky, there was this like weird, like glowing tail.
That was crazy.
That was so crazy.
It also just seemed like such an insane thing to do when people have so much nuclear anxiety to be like, oh, I'm just not going to mention it.
Right.
But if you look up, there's some crazy
shit. I went off because I was like, they clearly did this as a publicity stunt. It was maybe a 3-day weekend too.
Yeah.
So I was like, they timed this for maximum like getting people to be like, what is that? Which I was just like, that seems really irresponsible to do right now.
Yeah.
And then my friend, whose husband works for SpaceX, was like, actually, they did say they were going to do it. It's just that nobody pays attention because there's so much news all the time.
And that's why we had to do this. Yeah. Remember, SpaceX is a thing.
Now you'll pay attention to us. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And there's a fucking crazy story out of... I guess the Ukraine?
Yeah, Ukraine. Yeah.
So, Miles, why don't you tell us about it?
Okay, so this guy is a Russian journalist, which already puts him at risk because he reports on news and he's Russian. His name is Arkady Babchenko, and he basically was in a plot to fake his own death, to foil a murder plot. So what happened was this guy, Babchenko, he reports on all manners of Russian fuckery. Specifically, his reporting on the annexation of Crimea put him in some hot water, and he's a very vocal Putin critic. And he had to flee Russia in like February 2017 because he was getting death threats and his family. And then, like, I think at a certain point, his like information, he was doxxed. So all of his like addresses and his phone numbers were released on social media. And this is all because, you know, he was basically shining a light on the actions of the Kremlin. So this is where the drama kicks in. On Tuesday, yesterday, the Ukrainian police were like, he has been killed. He was shot to death in his apartment. And then today, the head of the Ukrainian security service announced in a news conference that basically they've solved his murder. And then, but
so
then
they call a press conference.
Yeah, he called it. He's like, we've solved it the next day. And he's like, why don't you come out, Arkady Babchenko? He comes out and was like, oh! And like people are like applauding. And he literally is like, yes, I am alive. And it's like the most.
Arkady.
It was like the most dramatic shit. And was like, also sorry to people who were like mourning my death for 24 hours. My bad. But I kind of had to do this because things were getting hot for me. So what had happened was the investigators identified a Ukrainian citizen who had been recruited and paid $40,000 by the Russian security service to organize this hit and carry it out. And then that guy went and found an acquaintance of his who had fought in like the separatist war in eastern Ukraine to be like the actual trigger man for this. They basically gotcha'd this guy, and it was like just a huge thing because they're like, oh, see what happens. And then the Kremlin at first, after his murder was announced, like we'll look into this, because they were saying, they're like, he was probably killed because of his investigating into like the annexation of Crimea and other things going on in the Kremlin. And then the next day after they come out with this, Russia said, oh, well, you know, we'll look into it. But, you know, that kind of stuff happens a lot in Ukraine, so you might have to look into that, too. So then cut to today where they're getting real petty. They're like, well, look, I got receipts. It's just getting crazy
right
over there.
But so it was specifically, like, the Russian government paying the hitman, right?
Yeah.
Like they have the receipts.
They were saying that, yes, this man was recruited by the Russian security service to basically carry this hit out across the border.
I mean, is that as good of evidence as we have? Because we know Putin kills people like on the regular, but because it's like somebody who Putin has threatened to kill then gets shot mysteriously and the cops just like don't look into it or whatever.
I don't know, man.
Isn't this the first time we have like receipts?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like there are plenty of receipts for other people like Litvinenko and mm-hmm. even like the dude who just got hit with the VX nerve agent in the park with his daughter.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can see these sort of lines of sight to the Kremlin or whatever, but I mean, yeah, sure, he's, I don't know, I just feel like nothing that the Kremlin would do, anyone's gonna be like, aha, we got you,
right?
You know what I mean?
But this seems pretty much like an episode of Matlock where they right. like the guy's just like, ah, you got me, and then they play the fun music.
I can't believe he only stayed fake dead for 24 hours.
I know.
Yeah.
I think it seems very tempting.
Too juicy.
Isn't he worried he'll be real dead very
soon? That's what I would be worried about if
I
were
him. Yeah.
To be continued. Who knows? I mean, it's funny. He came out in a hoodie, too. Like, he didn't give a fuck when they were laying down. Him. He had this, like, hoodie on. He was like, yeah, I'm alive. Like,
and showing up at the press conference about your own death is, like, the ballers.
It is.
Oh, yeah. In a hoodie and then being like, yeah, I'm alive.
Right.
And then also just kind of, they were saying other people who they had talked to, like other members of the government in Russia who had fled because of their, like, outspoken criticisms of Putin, were like trying to warn him, and they were saying like for a long time this guy Babchenko was just like not really fazed by the threats. He was just like whatever, like that he wasn't taking him seriously. And then they were like, hold up. Someone is trying to do something.
Maybe he's like unkillable though. Maybe he's like a Rasputin.
Yeah. That'd be amazing.
No.
Like he actually was shot and he was like, but I'm alive.
Right? Did he say like he was like knifed in the back and he just chilled? Or
who,
something?
Babchenko?
Yeah, I thought. Oh, maybe, I'm just reading the...
I mean, it would explain the hoodie. Right. The padding, all the padding you can get.
Yeah, got to get those extra layers in. Just a weird note. I always, anytime there's a Russia story that clearly makes Russia look bad, I like to follow it on the front page of Drudge, because I really believe that he has like some deal with the Kremlin because of the way he covers these stories. So all of yesterday it was reported that this guy had been killed in the way that the Kremlin was reporting it. And then this morning, they, for a moment, had faked his own death, ? And then now it's Ukraine admits faking death of anti-Kremlin journalist. Almost like the Ukraine did a bad thing, like the way they've phrased it. which I don't know. I've just always noticed that Drudge tends to like link off to, you know, Russia Today and Pravda articles more than other journalists. And there was like a story where basically the only people in the world who were siding with the Kremlin was the front page of Drudge Report,
right,
and RT, and they were just linking off. I think it was when they shot down the airliner, and they were like, no, I don't know, it wasn't us.
It was Ukraine.
Yeah.
Like, airliner accidentally explodes.
Yeah. Like, and Drudge just reported that unquestioningly. So
I mean, yeah, it's funny that Ukraine admits faking death of anti-Kremlin journalists.
Right.
No, my
Very
guy.
Weird,
they foiled a murder
sentence
plot.
Structure there.
Yeah.
They do that in American papers too, though. Where
oh, absolutely.
Like, yeah. A bunch of Palestinians
happened to die.
Were dead. Yeah.
Ran into some sniper bullets.
Yeah.
Right.
Or when they do this stuff recently with all the like the racially charged.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Racial waters.
Yeah. Waded into racial waters was. I was like, wow. Way to dumb that shit down.
Yeah, like racist. You mean racist.
Right.
Just say racist.
But yeah, we talked a little bit before about how Drudge gets more traffic than the New York Times and Washington Post in the U.S. So that's why it matters, even though I think a lot of people have stopped checking Drudge.
Well, this story's good, too, because it's like, you know, journalism's been under attack so much from everything.
Right.
That the image of a journalist, like, getting fake killed and then coming back just to his own funeral.
Yeah.
Right.
It's kind of inspiring.
Oh, 100%. It's an action movie.
Yeah. Can't kill journalism.
Literally.
But now moving on to Ambien is in some hot water for what they said about...
I can't believe Ambien would do this.
It's really fucked up. No, Roseanne was officially canceled, as we talked about on yesterday's episode, after she started... tweeting some racial waters. How are we wording this?
When she was being a straight up racist piece of shit.
Completely racist. Yes, that's right. And apparently, if you look in her archive, she's like, this was not even in the most offensive, like, top 100 of things she's tweeted.
Yeah, she's been doing all this stuff before the show got repicked up.
Right. This is not even her first time comparing a person of color to an ape. So, you know
what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, specifically a person of color in the Obama administration. It wasn't the first time that she compared them to an ape.
Yeah.
Didn't she also say both times that she sincerely apologized and would not do it again?
Of course. And I think she's on a number of times said, I'm leaving Twitter or I'm leaving social media. And then you're right back on
right.
in 20 minutes.
And then she came back and was like, it was Ambien's fault. And then Ambien came on and was like, don't blame us.
Yeah. Like, racism is actually not a side effect of Ambien. Yeah, her tweet was weird. It just said, guys, I did something unforgivable, so please do not defend me. It was 2 a.m. and I was Ambien tweeting. It was Memorial Day too.
You know, Tess
What's
is
that
telling
mean?
Me yesterday, not to excuse any of Roseanne's racism, but Tess is telling me that Roseanne had a traumatic brain injury as a kid.
So this was what was interesting to me, and I feel like now I need to like actually physically look at the Wikipedia.
Well, maybe be like, maybe she literally doesn't recall what she did 5 seconds ago.
She has a very interesting biography that in no way excuses the monster that she is, but... there's like an irrational, I mean, she seems just to be firing from like all sorts of different directions. And what's interesting to me, I mean, first of all, it's interesting that the reboot was ever carried out, that
it was
so popular.
So far.
Yes. And that so many people, really talented, good, interesting actors, and I'm sure, you know, people behind the scenes, Wanda Sykes dropped out right after the tweet, I think. But I mean, all of these people are obviously without jobs now, which sucks. But it's also like, Roseanne has never been known to be an even-handed, like, good person to run a show. So it's interesting to me that these people all signed on to do it. I know that's been talked about a lot on Twitter about, you know, just obviously it's a paycheck. And, you know, I mean, I guess it is, like, an interesting topic to explore. It, you know, resonated with people, some people. I could not bring myself to watch it. But yeah, I mean, when you look into Roseanne's biography, she's had a very interesting and strange life. And I think there was a mention that she had a traumatic brain injury.
Yeah, it says at 16, she was hit by a car and her behavior changed so radically that she was institutionalized for 8 months at Utah State Hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. That's fans of Last Podcast on the Left, which there seems to be a lot of in the Zeitgang, know that the first thing they always look for in the background of a serial killer is massive head trauma as a child.
Yeah.
Like, that's just... It really, I think we're going to find that out more and more that, you know, actual physical damage to the brain, or the Texas tower gunner had a huge tumor, like mm-hmm. right on the gland that would cause aggression.
Because when you think about it, too, I mean, her motivation for doing this is like a self-destructive. I mean, why would yeah. you be so horrible so publicly instead
well, I mean,
of just,
why does Trump
you know?
Do it? Because he's courting the racists.
Well, yeah, but I don't think that that was, I mean, maybe I'm giving her too much credit and I just am like, sometimes she just acts like it's.
Well, there's also that thing with comedians where like when they get older and they want more attention, they start mm-hmm. saying crazier and crazier things.
That's true.
You know, or just people that like right. turn really right wing at a certain yeah. point because they're like, hey, the weird, crazy stuff I say is going to get a lot of attention. Yeah. But I don't think that's what she's doing.
I don't think, I mean, I don't think that she's just completely out of touch necessarily. But and I don't think that they're, I mean, obviously people who are capable of saying things that are that horrible should not be in a position to be like the voice of, you know, even just themselves.
That's
maybe.
The thing, though, but, what you're saying. Yeah. It's like how many people had to enable the show coming back, you right. know, right. that nobody was like, hey, maybe let's not put a volatile racist on
it's
TV.
Not mainstream.
Yeah.
Again. But clearly they were like, hey, volatile racists are
right.
trending.
Yeah, it seems right. to be working.
You know?
Well,
like,
they got what they
money.
Paid for. You know, they thought, yeah. oh, we can make some money. They did. Yeah. And but they got in bed with Roseanne, and this is exactly what
you
got
to hand
happen.
It to ABC, though. I mean, that was fast.
That was really yeah.
that was
a quick turnaround.
Head spinningly
but, right,
fast.
Right, again, like, are we supposed to pat them on the back for, like, doing something that they also set up in the first place?
Right.
Absolutely like, not. But I was shocked that they did. I would not have anticipated that.
I was shocked they did it, too. I think just anytime there's, like, a pushback, you're like, hey, we can push back on this stuff. Mm-hmm. It
right.
doesn't have to be like this. We don't have to let every horrible racist have their opinion out loud. In
yeah.
fact, we can, like, take them off TV and take their platform away. Because obviously, like, so many people put Trump on TV leading up to the election.
Right.
That,
right.
like, didn't have to.
Yeah.
You know, SNL didn't have to have him host. They were like, ratings.
Yeah. Right,
money.
Exactly.
Good ratings.
And Jimmy Fallon's like, I'll tussle his hair.
The hair.
Look at this guy.
Look, he's like a puppy. Yeah. That's
Can
gross.
I touch your hair?
At least that made people turn on Jimmy Fallon, finally.
Yes. Yeah, right.
But yeah, Kanye read the room and was like, this is going to help my career. It's going to make me
well, it's gonna get
the
you,
voice of my generation.
It's going to get you attention, but it's like, is all attention good attention?
Right,
like,
exactly.
No, I don't think
getting near a lightning rod will get you electrified.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, speaking of old, irrelevant people who should be taken off of TV, conservatives want Bill Maher canceled, you guys.
No.
To kind of strike back at the left, they're taking our figurehead and thought leader, Bill Maher, because he once compared Donald Trump to an orangutan because of his hair and because
That's
he's dumb.
That's why?
That's why, yeah. And not all the other shit.
I don't know. What others?
Not
like,
because
I mean,
he was
being
an
stupid?
Asshole to Superhead?
Yeah, Superhead, you know, casually dropping the N-word, like he's
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
Oh, you mean Maher, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Exactly.
I thought you were saying that's why they compared him to an orangutan?
No. he's just been, yeah.
No,
I mean,
he's been a huge.
He's a dick.
He's a dick.
And nobody, that's why I'm like, it's so funny because we're like, go ahead, bro.
He's a racist.
Yeah.
That's
yes.
the whole thing. We're like, y'all can have him. Like,
right.
nobody on
Wait,
the left
what do
wants
you mean?
Him.
I mean, if the conservatives really wanted to hurt the
yeah,
liberals.
Yeah. No, don't do it. You
yeah,
guys, come on. That's
him.
My favorite show, and it's where I get all of my takes.
Oh, yeah. Especially on Islam.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Always.
No, he's got some really good points.
yeah, he's
please
been,
don't take him.
He's been bad forever, I feel mm-hmm. like. I can't believe he's still on TV.
Right. Well, see, get him off, and then, you know, now we got four people right here who could use a show
that's
on HBO.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Talking about fair and balanced.
And
you know what actually is really good on HBO now is the Wyatt Cenac show.
I haven't watched it yet.
It's so good.
Is
it's
it?
Like the opposite of the Bill Maher show.
Right.
It's,
oh, okay.
It's a really good show.
Because he's more like looking for solutions to shit, right?
Yeah, and he's also reporting on like prison abolition and like
right.
Homelessness in LA and like actual stuff that I'm interested in like a way that's well done. That's not just like, isn't this crazy?
Yeah.
Like
new rules.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
But I think specifically the reason that the right is trying to, you know, make this point and use that specific example is to completely defang the offensiveness of comparing a person of color to
oh, right,
an
to
ape.
Be like,
yeah,
oh,
which
it's
is,
all
so they're like, oh,
even
if you're going to call him,
field.
They're like,
exactly.
no, you're talking about someone with a historical weight that has been used to dehumanize people of color. And even Irish people, they were comparing to apes when they were first immigrating to this country.
What?
Yeah, my guy.
No.
Look into it.
Don't get our Irish up.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, yeah, please don't do that. conservatives, you'll break our
We're
hearts.
We're begging you. We're yeah. Begging you. Nobody gives a shit. Yeah. I mean, yeah, just take his ass away.
Miles.
I'm sorry. Right. Look, I mean, honestly, I want, you know, we could take that spot. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's yeah. going to open the door for some people.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's going to open the door
for take us with you, Miles.
Yeah. Hey, I'm trying. If the Positive America guys got an HBO deal, you know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, they
we're
did,
probably only 15 years away from that.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And we have an update on a story that we mentioned yesterday.
Yes, we do.
Hailing Drake's cold-blooded takedown of Pusha T, and things have escalated a little bit.
Things
since
have gone, they've gone next level.
I've always hated Pusha T's ad-lib, the
yeah.
It's just, I don't know, it seems forced and annoying. It's one of my least favorite
of
the ad-libs.
Oh, I mean, there's 2121, or, or 2 Chainz, or right. Oh God, or Killer. Take that.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah. It's still my least favorite.
Shut the fuck up! What? Decap me go! Yeah, yeah! I mean, there's many, hip-hop ones.
What? Shut the fuck up.
Oh, that's Juicy J.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. He just screams, shut the fuck up! It's so crazy. It's not even an ad-lib. It's like a weird epic. I don't even know what it is.
I'll
it's
admit
an
to loving Take That.
Take That.
I love
classic.
It.
Take That. 21.
But yeah, man, this, so Pusha T dropped a rebuttal yesterday called Adidan.
That was it, the tale of Adidan?
The story of Adidan.
Based on the story of OJ.
Uh-huh. And I didn't know what that was, but you're going to explain what it was.
So, okay, let's just start from the beginning because we just talked about their beef. The beef between the two of them has always been about Drake used a ghostwriter and Pusha T didn't really sell the drugs like he acts like he does in his lyrics.
Right.
So then in Infrared, Pusha T is like, use a ghostwriter. Right. And then so Drake's response was, yeah, so what? You're not that poppin' and turns out that you actually grew up middle class and you didn't really sell all that cocaine. And then Pusha T.
And you're old.
Yeah, and you're old. Then Pusha T responds with, your dad abandoned you, your mom is a loser, your boy has MS and is about to die, you bounced out on your illegitimate love child and about to kneecap your deal with Adidas. I mean, like, he took the nuclear option,
right?
Which is, you know, I like hip hop beef because now we've gone from I'm gonna kill you to Pusha T basically being like, you're a terrible father, my guy.
No, you know, like,
if you distill it down to that. Personally, I didn't like the shot he took at OVO 40 with his MS because that's kind of next level shit,
yeah.
And it's a little tasteless to me. But
I clutched my chest for sure.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe how in he was going. So yes, he talks about everything from his baby mom's, who is French, who has this child, Adonis. And what's really interesting is that allegedly, you know, we've seen Drake wearing Adidas recently, and he's been had a deal with the Jordan brand. Like, there have been a whole line of OVO Jordans and things
right.
like that. And then recently he started wearing Adidas, and everyone's like, what's going on? Is that deal about to fall through? And from what we understand is that, yes, he does, in fact, have something going on with Adidas, and the line is called Adidon, named after his son Adonis. And that's how he's going to, like, sort of let people know about his son is along with this. So Pusha T's like, shame on you for... First of all, not really supporting your child, and then like using this like Adidas marketing thing to announce you have a kid to sell stuff. Like, yeah. What's going on? And possibly like what's going to happen, a lot of people speculate, is that sort of like by attaching this, the name of this diss track to the thing that's coming out, that's going to really kind of mess things up from a marketing standpoint for this new apparel line. Not to mention that the cover art for this freestyle is Drake in blackface. Wearing like a Jim Crow hoodie and a Jim Crow t-shirt, and that's like not photoshopped. Like, that is an actual photo that he took, and Pusha T linked to this photographer's website that it came from. Clearly Pusha T did some actual oppo.
Yeah,
as we call it, political
the amount
game.
Of oppo research that went into this is impressive.
Well, that's what I was wondering, was do you think somebody brought this information to Pusha T? Somebody showed him the burner account or whatever.
I like to think it was Pusha T up like for like 2 days.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm just gonna find everything.
Uh-huh.
Do you think someone brought him that info though about the sun and all that stuff?
Well, there was speculation about it before, like because he started following this woman and like he was building a crib at his house. So people knew these things.
Everybody on Lipstick Alley knew what was happening.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I just pictured Pusha T like reading Lipstick Alley. Like,
I honestly think Pusha T, this has been the plan since the beginning.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You think he like baited Drake?
He Venus flytrapped him. He Admiral Akbar. It's a trap. Got this dude to, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit about you in this track to get you to say something, but what you don't know is I have a preloaded response, basically, that is just like a scorched earth campaign.
Do you guys think Drake can come back from this?
Yeah, I think he can.
He's going to need to do a lot of research.
I mean, look, Meek Mill came back from basically being ethered by Drake. You know, we'll see. And also, I think Drake's appeal is so big. Like, I was talking to my friend who works at a hip-hop station out here. They're saying the kids don't even know who Pusha T is.
Right, but do you think that, like, this, like, will damage Drake's, like, nice guy image?
Well, that's the thing, is that to come back from this and meet that energy, he has to go so hard. Like, I feel like that's not a look for him that is gonna, that doesn't agree with his personality.
I guess, yeah, his diss track will be like, yes, I was a bad dad. I'm real sad. Sorry, guys. End. But just to be like, you're a sensitive guy. You're a sensitive guy.
Somebody was saying he should like rap over the Degrassi beat and just own it.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, the where did the blackface photo come from? Like,
that,
what's the
we're
deal
still
with
trying
that?
To figure out what that is.
It was for a streetwear line.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. I think the company is called Two Black Guys. It's like a, you know, other rappers had like done photo shoots for this. Somebody was saying that, like, in the Instagram comments, the guy who took the photograph said it was Drake's idea. Mm. And then people were saying it was because Drake was really into Little Brother at the time, which was when Little Brother was doing, like, the minstrel show era.
Right.
And
got it.
I mean, but also people were saying, like, it's crazy that this was still up on the internet. And, like, Drake, who's usually pretty savvy about stuff like that, wouldn't have, like, remembered this existed and scrubbed it. Although that might have been worse, obviously, to scrub it if it had come back up, you know. He's got to find a way to own it.
But what's funny is, like, Pusha T, I think he called him the Breakfast Club and was like, he needs to explain this photo. I mean, like, his blackness is in question. I'm like, my guy, you were working with Kanye West.
Yeah.
As our boy said in Philadelphia, find another angle. Because that's
that
not,
collar is normal.
That collar is normal, and you are with one of the most problematic black people right now. So I don't know. My whole thing is, I honestly feel like Kanye may have been, you know, Emperor Palpatine-ing this thing all from the back. Because if you think about it, Drake took over Kanye's spot, and he even admitted that. He's like, you know, I've been gone for a while, and now Drake is just like that top guy in hip hop. He's like the big hit king. And we then find, you know, later on, like, we find out Drake wrote a few songs on Pablo, some things that weren't even credited. And now to know that Drake is coming on to Adidas, I feel like it was activating all those Kanye insecurities. And I feel like they definitely had some coordination at some level.
This fight isn't even necessarily between the people it's between.
Right.
Because it's like, it's also about, like, the real issue was that, like, Pusha T and, like, Wayne were fighting about who wore Bape first a million years ago. And that's how Pusha T, like, inherited the fight with Drake.
Really?
Young Money. Yeah.
It's like a hip-hop proxy war, basically.
Yeah.
I am entertained.
Yeah.
That's what I'll say.
For sure.
It's been a while since there have been, the trading of, like, you know, freestyles like this has happened where you're like, whoop! Like, I mean, the last time I really felt, the Drake Meek Mill stuff was fine, but it felt a little one-sided. But, you know, like, I guess the 50 Cent Ja Rule thing was like the last time someone was just sort of consistently getting smashed to bits.
Right.
In diss tracks. But, I like it. It's getting messy.
The funniest thing, too, is thinking about, like, Drake and Kanye living next to each other in Calabasas also.
Right.
Like, are they going to run into each other? Get in the newspaper?
How can you not in Calabasas? You meet up by the
it's
little
really
duck
not
pond
that big.
Or whatever.
Go to the comments.
That's what I'm saying.
Comments.
Yeah. Or wasn't there a competition where, like, one of them heard about the size of the pool of the other and was like, okay, I got to go bigger than that. I got to put a lake in.
My house looked like a resort inside.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Where I reside looked like a resort inside.
Drake has a grotto. I really
want
to see that grotto.
He talks about the grotto.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I had a grotto, I'd talk constantly about my grotto.
Me too.
Yeah.
I might not even be able to get baited into diss wars because I would be like, I'm going to my grotto.
Yeah.
This is a very important, I think, a note, or this is a lesson. I think Drake could become a cautionary tale for people who, you know, like, this was clearly a good move by Pusha to bring in one of the biggest names in hip hop to now put his focus on you. And now look at all your mentions. Because again, I feel like this was really well thought out plan, because I think he already knew what he had on Drake. And that's why in the interview after the Duppy freestyle, I was like, we will be dealing in truths. Was sort of like very ominous.
Yeah, we were like, he seems like he doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah. He's just rambling, and it was actually him just like dropping like cryptic hints about how he was gonna.
Because then
slide
he said,
the
"This is his truth. This is Drake's truth."
Right.
I'm like, okay, well,
I mean, Drake is at this point, anyone he responds to, it's gonna be punching down. But the Meek Mill thing kind of worked out for him, although because he had a beef with Meek Mill last year or 2 years ago, and like Meek Mill, it seemed like everybody agreed, took a huge L on that. But then Meek Mill 6 months later was like a legend. Everybody just knew who Meek Mill was.
Well, I feel like Drake is like not that hard. So when he tries to be really hard, that's like where his weakness is. Because then you come in and you're like, you don't know what you're talking about.
Because he's not going to be talking about clapping Pusha T up or anything like that. No. He's going to be like, it's just going to be
wordplay. I got shot by Rick in the hallway and then I was in a wheelchair for the rest of Degrassi.
You know what it's like to be paralyzed. Emotionally.
And yet, this is not my favorite celebrity feud that I have found out about in the past couple of days, because I've been listening to Night Call and you guys talked about Kelsey Grammer's autobiography.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we did.
It's just, everybody needs to listen to that episode. I think it's called, what's it called? Schneefed on the Cocaine. But you guys do sort of a review of Kelsey Grammer's autobiography written at the height of his Frasier-ness and presumably at the height of his substance abuse issues. And he has a beef with the dog from Frasier.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
He hates that dog.
But he starts out by being like, people say that I hate this dog. And like, I like to play with that. But then goes on to explain like why the dog isn't worthy of being called an actor.
What?
It's awesome.
What was the dog called on the show?
Eddie
on the show, and I forget
Moose.
Yeah.
Oh, was it his Christian name?
Yeah. Wish I didn't know all these things.
I know, right? Just wipe it out of your brain now.
Yeah, he's like, the dog just sees a treat and does what you tell it to do. It's not really acting. And I'm like, don't you just see a treat, Kelsey?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. Isn't the treat just like an eight ball at the end of your shoot?
Exactly.
Can you imagine feuding with a dog on a show?
No, but everything about Kelsey Grammer's autobiography makes you believe he's the type of person who would feud with a dog.
Right.
Out of pride.
Right.
That is like the lowest form of insecurity.
I was saying, also, I just learned about another 90s sitcom star feud, which is that Roseanne and Julia Louis-Dreyfus hate each other.
Ooh.
And
we're both like, ooh.
Yeah, well, it goes back. It goes back. Yesterday, Julia Louis-Dreyfus posted a picture of herself with Valerie Jarrett. Is that her name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Being like, love my friend. My good friend Valerie, love her so much, and just like of them smiling. And then somebody told me on Twitter it was because in the 90s, when they were filming Seinfeld and Roseanne at the same time on the same lot.
On Radford,
that Roseanne hated Julia Louis-Dreyfus and wrote on her windshield in lipstick, Julia Louis-Dreycunt.
What?
Wow.
I mean, sick burn.
Well, somebody was like, I guess if you say it out loud, maybe it's funny, but like going right. Like,
yeah, when you see that,
out,
you're like, Draken?
Right. I think you got my name wrong.
So I love the idea that Julia Louis-Dreyfus has been waiting for 20 years for this.
It's like you think I forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Waiting
I don't know whose
time.
Side to take in this one, though.
Oh, I'm going Elaine. Come on.
All Elaine Bennis all day.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Elaine Bennis.
That your ad lib?
Yeah. Elaine Bennis. I'm a man.
You guys, it's been a pleasure having you guys on. Where can people find you and follow you?
Wow, you can find us all over the place. Check out Night Call. Night Call is on Audio Boom, and you can find on the Apple Podcast Network. You can check out our Twitter is Night Call Pod. Cast?
No, it's Night Call Pod on Twitter. It's Night Call Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. I really highly recommend the Instagram, which Molly runs because she's been working really hard on the Instagram.
It turned into my meme account.
Yeah.
I've been, and give us a call. We take calls.
Oh, yeah.
And texts.
Can we see our number?
Yes. Please.
Oh, great. Give us a call or a text at 240-46-NIGHT, or you can email us at nightcallpodcast@gmail.com. We read them all, and we've gotten some really good ones, including by just really briefly. Someone called, and they were getting a lot of calls from this number. I think it was a block number. They didn't know who it was, and it was an ice cream truck song, and then like hello, and it was this spooky call that this caller kept getting, and she told us about it. And then she called back recently and was like, oh, I figured it out. I solved it. And what's happening is, and then her call cut off.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Some spooky mystery.
We're trying to, it's the Night Call Podcast mystery.
Wow.
Yeah.
But yeah, give us your calls and texts and emails, and we take anecdotes. We love any rap beef stories you have, any feuds in your own life.
Uh-huh. Do you take like blind items?
Yeah, we love.
You get messy?
We'll take anything.
I'll get messy.
Yeah, please do.
Advice.
Yeah.
I think I first learned about the blind item website from you guys.
Like, we were just talking about it on the way up.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it afterwards.
Yes.
Tell you who we think the blind item lawyer is.
Yep.
Ooh.
We don't want to reveal his identity and ruin his job.
Because we rely on him.
We rely
for our gossip.
There you go.
Molly, you are a New York Times columnist?
Yeah, I write. I interview people for the back page of the New York Times Magazine for a column called Talk. I just interviewed Hiro Murai, who's the director of Atlanta and
This is America. So many good
video.
Music videos.
He was really cool. Another LA dude.
Yeah, he went to SC, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so check out.
He's a DP for this kid I knew, Ace Norton.
Yeah. And he was like a cinematographer first, which I was like, that's chill directors are cinematographers.
Right, first. And then they're like, okay, I'm going to watch you fuck up and
makes
I'll stay
humble.
Sound. Yeah, it really does. It really does.
Miles.
Yes.
Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray because I keep the handles consistent.
You can find me.
Unlike our show.
At Jack _O'Brien on Twitter. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnote.
We link off to the information in the episode as well as the song that we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
Okay, guys, just get a fire extinguisher near you, get a first aid kit, whatever you need. You might be clutching your pearls all the way. You need a fainting couch. Pusha T, Story of Addie Don. We'll see where this beat goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is ready. So we'll see. See what Drake has.
All right. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then.
Drug dealing aside, goose writing aside, let's have a heart to heart about your pride. Even though you're multi, I see that your soul don't look alive. The M's count different when baby divides the pie. Wait, let's examine why your music for the past few years been angry and full of lies. I started at the home front, I'm on one. Dennis Graham, stay off the gram, bitch, I'm on one. You mention wedding ring like it's a bad thing. Your father walked away at 5, hell of a dad thing. Marriage is something that Sandy never had, Drake. How you a winner, but she keep coming in last place. Monkey suit, Dennis, you parade him. A Steve Harvey suit, nigga, made him. Confused, always felt you weren't black enough. Afraid to grow it cause your fro wouldn't nap enough. Since you name dropped my fiance, let him know who you chose as your Beyonce. Sophie knows better as your baby mother. Cleaned her up for IG, but the stench is on her. Her baby's involved, it's deeper than rap. We talking character, let me keep with the facts. You are hiding a child, let that boy come home. Deadbeat motherfucker playing border patrol. Ooh! Adonis is your son, and he deserves more than an Adidas press run. That's real. Love that baby, respect that girl. Forget she's a porn star, let her be your world. Yeah. How dare you put yay in my verses? I'm selfish, I want all of the curses. I'm pre-booking the churches, me versus three hearses. If we all go to hell, it'll be worth it. Already aligned with the greats. And on that same note, the only ones I chase are two ghosts. Still giving you classics, that's the only thing that dates me. OVO 40, hunched over like he 80. Tick, tick, tick. How much time he got, that man is 666. I got the devil flow, nigga. 666. Surgical summer with it. Snip, snip, snip. And you don't really want it with him. Surgical summer volume 1. We gon' take this slow. We just gon' peel it back layer by layer. Yeah. Daytona. Album of the motherfucking year. You talking about you upset. Well, I want to see what it's like when you get angry, okay? You show me that.